Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh. Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. I'm back and better than ever. And that's JT Holton and that's Josh Brown. And yeah, I think we're going to actually make some podcasts this week instead of just like one where Josh and JT try not to miss me like a lovesick puppy.
We'll have you know that the last 2 weeks have been fantastic, and we have lived our best lives, and I've gotten tons of feedback from podcast listeners last 2 weeks, more so than usual. I'm just saying, not sure if that means anything, but
I'm glad. It's probably because you only produced one podcast, and therefore they had more time to respond to you
rather than listen
to the podcast.
Maybe that's it, but I got a lot of feedback.
To be fair, we produced zero podcasts. We still sent them to you you to produce them.
That's true. But yeah, 655 bales of hay later, two broken tractors, a busted hay baler, and a completely destroyed tedder. And I'm back with you guys. It's good to see you.
What's a tedder?
It's a T-E-D-D-E-R. It's like Ted, you know, but it actually flips, it scatters the hay out so it dries better.
Wow.
You drive through it and it throws it up in the air, flips it over.
Whoa. Well, all right. Now I know what a tedder is.
Glad you're back, I guess.
Yeah, I can tell. You're really excited. That's all right, though. I'm excited. And, fellas, better than ever, the Braves, now, they're going to the World Series. They're going all the way. They have signed the one and only Pablo Sandoval to a minor league contract.
You know, I just love how all the Braves bloggers thought that the Braves couldn't spend any money. Now they got Pablo Sandoval. But honestly, I'm a little bit upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, they DFA'd Charlie Culberson. And now they're going to be like, we're going to get Pablo Sandoval for some bench depth. How disrespectful is that to Charlie Culberson?
They got Culberson back, though, didn't they? They DFA'd him and then moved him to the AAA side, I think.
Yeah, he's at the...
Oh, really? Like he cleared waivers or whatever it's called?
Alternate training side.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was going to actually pick up Charlie Culberson. I've had 7 at-bats this season.
Why you got to say it like that?
And I'm throwing in the bullpen.
I was having fun with just JT.
I'm sorry.
I was having fun with just JT. Then you come back and you throw all the shade at Charlie Culberson. What did Charlie Culberson do to you?
It wasn't shade. It was clarification that no one was going to sign Charlie Culberson off waivers.
That was a subtle dinger to Charlie Culberson, and he's not even here to defend himself.
Well, it's just nice to know, Josh, that I hit dingers. That's what I want. The important part of this conversation is that you just pointed out that I hit dingers.
He didn't get a chance. How are you going to hit dingers when you don't get a chance?
They signed him back. He's a AAA. He can work on that, you know, that little slider that he's got, and maybe he'll make it as a relief.
Disrespectful. Pitcher. It's amazing how quick you two flip. Unbelievable.
I mean, yes, Josh has never flipped quickly ever, at all. Yeah. Okay.
You can like lose sleep over it if you want to, but we all know like he's making like the NLCS roster, right? Like. They're going to have Charlie Culberson on the team when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah, probably
because
so.
He's making a magical moment in the bottom of the 12th. You know, that's just what he does. So.
In all seriousness, I know Josh is excited, but in all seriousness, what in the world? What in the world did they sign Pablo Sandoval? Like, I don't know.
I have
Maybe
no idea.
Like,
he's not
he,
even.
He has in the last year and a half. He's hit lefties a little bit. I guess he changed something about his swing, but it's not like he's traditionally been a big lefties hitter. He has been in the postseason, which does mean
he's
something.
He's been big.
he has been in the postseason, which I will admit that means a little something. But it feels like just a depth move, right, at this point, guys. I mean, he could be added to the postseason roster, but this is basically Austin Riley breaks his leg in the last week of the season, that you have a third baseman other than just Johan Camargo that you could put on the postseason roster. I mean, I think that's what we're seeing here. I don't know. I really don't know.
I have no idea, but I love it.
I mean, he would have to be the third option behind Camargo, Culberson, Hecheverria.
Yeah.
Sandoval. At what point Sandoval play?
Even in his big self, he's always been a fairly respectable third baseman at the actual position. He's hitting .220 this year, and the Giants cut him for like the second time in his career with the Giants.
Can he play any first base? Is this a potential?
I mean, I guess so. Yeah, he probably could. If Freddie God forbid, Freddie went down, it would give you a first baseman as well, I'm sure.
And I guess you do have the expanded bench and you have the designated hitter. So, I mean,
yeah.
I guess. It's whatever.
It's just a depth move. It's what it's got to be. I mean, I don't think there's any chance that if everyone's healthy that Pablo Sandoval makes the postseason roster unless there's injuries or something. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Weird. Good. The best of all news, though, fella, is that Robbie Erlin is not going to make the postseason roster because the Braves have finally fired him into the sun. He not only was DFA'd, he was then released by the Braves. So, yeah, he's not pitching anymore for the Braves. That's a good thing. Remember he had that one good start and we kind of raved about it and were excited.
And we created a podcast dedicated to him and called it Erlin the Merlin.
Merlin Erlin? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we did a whole episode on that. We were real clear on that episode that he was just average, but still. What are you, oh my God, Josh?
What if they're about to trade Johan Camargo, and that's why they got Pablo?
Well, you can't trade now. It's after the trade deadline, so I don't think they're going to trade anything right now.
No.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Continue.
Wow, the Braves have given up 4 runs in the third, and the bases are loaded with 2 outs. That seems, and Luke Jackson's pitching, so
I'm sure Twitter's,
this is not a good night for
Twitter's having a good time. Let me hop on. Let me check the timeline.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going well. Also, this week, in addition by subtraction, JT, Tommy Malone hits the IL with a strained ability to pitch.
The DL.
ILDL, it's all the same thing, Josh. You don't have to, like, always make it a thing. I'm just saying.
I'm not making a thing. You're making a thing. I just said DL. Why are you making it a thing?
Well, you corrected me. You are correcting
I just said
me. It was like I said the wrong thing, and now you feel the need to correct me. You're like my podcast wife. It's like the worst thing ever. I swear.
The feeling is mutual. I'm glad.
I'm glad. Hey, guys, Cole Hamels comes back this week. Now, I have 2 questions. First of all, is Cole Hamels the hottest 36-year-old in MLB history?
Let's see. Sandy Koufax retired at age 30. And
how old's Kevin Kiermaier?
He's not that old.
I don't think he's 36. Nope, he's not to 36 yet.
Who else is?
I mean, Chipper Jones was not some like amazing beauty.
Don't even mention Chipper. He's not even in this conversation. Stop.
Okay,
Marquez is 36.
Like Mike Piazza, not really in the same sort of genre, you know. Josh Tomlin, I still think Cole Hamels is like way above Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean,
I know,
Tomlin's
Josh,
cute.
You give Tomlin a lot of credit, but it's not Cole Hamels.
He's for sure cute. Also, he follows the podcast, so there's that.
Yeah, let's see.
Is Cole Hamels 37?
36.
Or 36. Markakis is 36, right? Or 35?
I think he's 35. I don't know.
Well, he'd be in that conversation. He'd be up there. I think. You got to give old Cakes some respect.
Yeah, Cakes is 36.
Okay.
He'll be 37 next month. Or in November, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think Cole Hamels is way better looking than Cakes, though.
Do you think so?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Better hair. The hair separates.
The hair does separate, yeah, for sure. And Hamels on, like, pretty boy looks. I get that Markakis has the rugged country boy look, but, like, mm-hmm. When you're talking like Abercrombie model, like Cole Hamels is kind of like step above.
Yeah, I got one.
Kind of.
out of baseball history, not current, but out of all history, I would put this guy a little bit ahead for sure. Maybe a lot ahead.
Who's that? Who's that?
Chase Utley.
I was going to ask if Chase Utley. I still think think Cole Hamels is better looking.
No way. No way. Then the Silver Fox? Then Gray?
Yeah,
Gray?
I mean, I'm going to go a little.
The fact you have to call him the Silver Fox, though, and this is the thing.
No.
I feel like it automatically progresses him to like the 40, 50-year-old group. And yes, he's leading that. But like Chase, like Cole Hamels, you could put him in like the Max Fried 25-year-old category, and I still think he's top five.
I don't know. I feel the same way about Chase Utley. So I don't teach their own.
You've got to kind of grade on a curve here. Like Cole Hamels, good looking man, whether he's 35, 25, or 45.
Yeah,
but you got to say, look, he's for a guy that age, he's very handsome. That's how you got to kind of grade these other guys.
Yeah,
like here's one I thought of. From years past, a little before our time, but you guys are learned baseball historians. Jim Palmer.
Yeah, okay.
Jim Palmer with some very classy underwear ads back in the day for a jockey, yeah. I believe it was. Full head of hair, really handsome. Nothing wrong with him, like no weird deformities. And even up until his late 30s, still looked like he was in his late 20s.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out a sleeper that I bet Josh is going to hate, but it's a sleeper pick. Tom Glavine.
I think Tom Glavine's gorgeous. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not mad.
Okay.
That's a beautiful man. Very, very
Glavine,
handsome.
Tom Glavine low at 36 key, was up handsome. There. That being said, I still think Cole Hamels is better. Like, that's what I keep coming back to. Like, everyone I pit him against, I'm like, I still think Cole Hamels is better.
In a different way. Cole Hamels has this cute, kind of pretty boy look as you kind of –
Cole Hamels is like Brad Pitt, though. He's like, he looks 25 no matter what age he is.
But Brad Pitt can look like a badass, but also look like a pretty boy, cute guy, right? Yeah. Cole Hamels, in my opinion, can't look – he doesn't have the badass appeal. He's very good looking.
No.
Now, Tom Glavine
– Tom Glavine's badass.
Yeah, he looks like intimidating but also handsome. You know what I mean? Markakis, more handsome, badass, not so much pretty boy, cute. Cole Hamels, to me, pretty boy, cute. I mean, I wish I looked like him, but like non-intimidating.
So Cole Hamels, I will say this about Cole Hamels. He can't pull off the beard. When he was in Chicago, he did the beard thing.
Yeah, it looked weird.
It didn't work right. The 5 o'clock
shadow
works, though. He's just too
pretty.
It does. Yeah. It does. So like he's too pretty for the full-on beard. Mm-hmm. But like in a weird way, like I respect the country. I respect the rough guy, the man's man. But at the end of the day, I guess I'm just kind of into pretty boys. Like for me, Cole Hamels.
If that's your thing,
that's
fine.
I think it is. I think it's my thing. Like he just, it's kind of like Luke Bryan versus, like Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
Like Chris Stapleton's got that rugged, hot, big beard. Burly bear kind of guy quality to him, you know, but like Luke Bryan's still prettier. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, Luke Bryan is the guy that's he's just better looking, you know?
Cole Hamels looks like the type of guy who calls his wife and says, "Hey, I'm headed to the mall. Do you need anything?" Like that's how he spends his Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
That's true.
Like he is against the show. Not saying he's not good looking. He just looks.
And then soft. I just assume his wife calls like a tracking service to follow him to make sure like he's alone at the mall.
Yeah.
Because you don't let someone that beautiful go to the mall by themselves, right? I mean, right? Like, that's kind of the way it feels.
He looks
like
he just started a church plant in Alpharetta, you know?
Maybe so.
He looks like Rob Lowe.
He does have some role. Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe. Like, Rob Lowe's a guy who you'll never understand how old he really is because he looks 29.
Okay, so tell me this.
He can honestly pass for a 30-year-old.
Tell me this, fellas. Would you rather, which one's better looking, all right? The last 10 years of Cole Hamels, so from 26 to 36, or the next 10 years of Max Fried?
I'm going to say the next 10 years of Max Fried. Up until recently, I didn't think that Cole was that cute, to be honest with you. Early Cole Hamels, to me, was way too just, kind of girly. I don't know.
He had a touch of baby face when he was younger.
Yeah, he did.
Just a touch. Right. Not a lot. What a punch. Just,
and Max Fried did too, as
weight.
We see on the 2016 Rome Braves That's program. True. He did, but Max Fried's left really quickly.
Yeah, and Coles is gone now, but like at the I do think when he was a little younger, especially his Phillies era, he had not that he was pudgy at all. Like he wasn't even close, but like I would say he was probably 5 pounds heavier than he is now. Mm-hmm. You know, just a little bit of soft cushioning in the face and just a tad. I don't know. I'm now.
Yeah, probably about 10 to 15 extra pounds of baby fat on there that were
cocaine
and just working and
losing in the Phillies will really make you look good.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true. Do you think Cole Hamels is gay? Like, do you think he would turn gay?
I don't think so.
He's been married for a while, so I mean,
he did pitch for Philly for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Just saying, like, that's the brotherly love city. You know?
Right,
I'm just
saying. I mean.
He's a pitcher.
And he did play with Chase Utley, but, yeah, I mean, if you let Chase Utley, you know, behind you all those years and you're not gay after that, I don't know what'll make you gay, you know?
That's probably true. Like he would probably be just like completely out if he were gay at this point, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So I guess that dashes all our hopes. So in that case, fellas, Wednesday night we should make sure that the TVs are off so our wives do not see him. And Just to be
I
clear.
Agree.
The second part of this question that I had for you guys, and I know that ended up being several questions, but the second part of that is, does it make you feel old that Cole Hamels is only 36?
Yes. Because Cole Hamels seems... I remember when Cole Hamels was like the young stud. Like he was
rookie,
like...
Right. Yeah. Like this is... I was in college-ish. And like, but he was a young up-and-comer. Like this was their big prospect, was this Cole Hamels kid.
Yeah.
The Phillies weren't very good back then. This is before they had assembled the big pitching roster that won that championship. And Cole Hamels was... He would kick the Braves' ass every time. Like, we could not figure young Cole Hamels out. Like, he had our number. I remember listening to the radio, and Don Sutton called him all elbows and kneecaps, and that's the way he pitched. And I was like, that's a good description, because all you see was elbows and kneecaps, and you couldn't pick up the ball until it was already by you. And he was a pain because he was good-looking. He was good. He played for the Phillies, and he always beat us. I hate him. But yeah, I feel now that he's like an elder statesman, you know, it's weird.
It is weird.
You know, we start seeing guys like we're watching the sons of people that we grew up watching play.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing Kevin Biggio, Bo Bichette, Vlad Jr., you know. Cole, and then I'm sure some other teams have sons of players too, not just the Blue Jays.
Cole Hamels being a year younger than me boggles my mind. Like, how is he a year younger than me?
It
like,
is weird.
Cole Hamels, even when Cole Hamels was a young stud coming up and everything, I still thought he was like 5 years older than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was this mentality that he was like, he's a pro baseball pitcher. He's
and it feels like he's
older,
had a 17-year career.
It does feel that way.
If you told me this is his 18th year, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
You know, that he was a rookie in 2002. I would be like, okay, makes sense. It seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah, he
and
was
I
a
don't
rookie.
Know how to explain that.
He has been around a while. It's 14 years. 2006 was his, but he was
wow. So he
started
okay,
when he was 22.
Well, 22. Yeah.
Yeah, he was 22. So, yeah, but still, man, that's wild. That's wild. Anyway, there you have it, fellas. Continuing to talk a little Braves. Hey, Kyle Wright showed back up. He pitched pretty well. It was nice to see him go more than 3 innings. And go through a lineup more than once. That was nice. But we have to talk about it, fellas. It's the elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
What the heck is up with Kyle Wright's facial hair? He looks like the 26-year-old guy that's still dating high school chicks.
When did
like,
when did he pitch? I didn't watch the game. Was it over the weekend?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Oh, I was
Sunday.
Eating chicken gizzards and footballing. Sorry.
Yeah, it was.
I don't understand the phrase "elephant in the room." Why would nobody be talking about an elephant in the room? Like, if there was an elephant in the room with you and your wife, it would be like the first thing you guys mentioned.
I mean, yeah.
Now, why is it called? I don't get the phrase.
Yeah.
It's
how do you not talk about
the elephant in the room? Is the giant thing there that we have to talk about now? I mean, I think that's kind of the point of the phrase. Is like,
but to JT's point,
like, tiger in the room make more sense.
But like, to JT's point, everybody talks about the elephant in the room being like the secret thing that people are afraid to talk of. That's how I take it.
Yeah, like it'd be the first thing I'd say if I walked in a room and there was an elephant in it. I'd be like, whoa, there's an elephant in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be like, okay, we're finally get around to the fact there's
right.
no.
We should rename it, and we should call it something like the obnoxious loud bear in the room, or
like the cockroach on the floor that you notice, but you don't want to say anything because you don't want your wife to scream. But you see a little cockroach crawling across, and so you'll just get it in a second. But if you point it out, your wife will run around screaming and squealing. Maybe that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I just sent you guys a picture of his facial hair from Sunday. It's not the most grotesque picture. There's a worse one, but, yeah, I'm going to need your opinion on this. I feel like it's an important thing that we have to discuss. Just saying.
Ooh, that's weird.
Oh, he looks like a Sunday extra on Breaking Bad.
He does.
It doesn't connect like the. He's got a goatee, okay, but the mustache doesn't connect to the chin part, and then the mustache is in two separate parts. He's got like the reverse Hitler mustache, where there's nothing in the middle and just some stuff on the sides.
Which I have seen before. I have seen this kind of thing before, but not with baseball players. I don't know if baseball players are.
Maybe it's
to
a way
this.
For him to say, not only am I not racist, I'm anti-racist. I am the reverse of Hitler. Look at my mustache. I am Bizarro Hitler. I love everyone, and I have the backward mustache.
Stop!
It's a weird look.
It's odd. I mean, yeah, it's odd.
It is.
It's kind of. And I'm telling you, it's like that dude that you used to always see hanging around the. Like he would show up at prom with some girl, and you're like, "Didn't you graduate 5 years ago?" And you're like, yeah, you totally did graduate 5 years ago. Why are you at prom with a girl, you know, from now? Because you definitely graduated 5 years ago. And he drove
he's
a Mustang.
23.
Yeah, and he drove a Mustang, but it was a few years out of date. And it was like a 90s Mustang, not the cool ones. Like the late 90s, early 2000 Mustang.
It was like a complete factory 97 Mustang.
And the guy
that he thought was special.
Yeah, and he stomps it at the local car wash, and when he does, he loses control of it and hits the curb and knocks the front bumper off his Mustang. And he's too ashamed to stop and pick it up, so he just drives off and leaves the bumper sitting there. That guy.
Baseball players.
Name's Todd,
are,
assistant manager at Jiffy Lube.
One thing, we talked about Matt Adams this way before. So baseball players, they get drafted at a young age, and they become millionaires at a young age. Like, so Kyle Wright's a good example of this. He gets drafted, he's a millionaire. And then you're a baseball player, and all you do is play baseball. And especially now, you can't go out anywhere. You're in this bubble, right? And so you forget like what's cool, what's not cool, and you do weird shit with your face, and you wear weird stuff, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Matt Adams is wearing like studs like 2002. He doesn't know any better. He hasn't been away from baseball since he was drafted. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of like Uncle Ricos, kind of. They live in their 20-year-old selves. But this doesn't really explain the facial hair, though.
The other guy, Kyle Wright, kind of looks like is maybe he's like maxed out on Max Alerts. Do y'all remember Max Alerts that you popped, the pills that would keep you awake all the time?
Oh, the ephedrine pills?
Yeah, they're called Max Alerts. Yeah. And he looks like the guy that's like working third shift, popping Max Alerts, and you're not sure if maybe he's done a little meth or something because his skin's he's lost a little weight, you know, and he's got that scraggly looking goatee. I mean, that's the other version of Kyle Wright here. And hey, to be fair, I don't care if popping Max Alerts and doing a little crank at night is keeping him up. Then please keep it up because you're pitching like you pitched really well. I'm just saying.
Matt Adams looks like he sells cell phone accessories at a kiosk in the mall.
You're
like
not
a,
wrong.
Like a light up antenna for your
either that or he's a longest drive contest participant, and he's gonna pull out his driver and he can hit the ball 420 yards, but he can't putt 3 feet. I'm just saying, like that's
here's the thing. Kyle Wright had pitched and never won a game. All right, I think he had 7 career starts with no wins. Or he was 0-7 career, so I don't know how many starts he had. And that was all as a baby face. So you know baseball players being how they are. Yeah. Eventually weird facial hair is coming. So I am winless as a baby face. I have to get something on my face. Anything at all. Even if I'm not ready to grow it, I got to have something. And there you go. That's what you have.
Yeah.
And guess what? He won, so it's staying. It'll be there for his next start. Next time you see him, it'll be there. So,
yeah,
it's how these baseball players, you know, in lieu of intelligence, they have superstition.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they think, you know, that's just how they are. They're weird people.
Most of them are. That's true. That's true.
Is Not the Home of Nation secretly your favorite podcast? Well, put your money where your mouth is and support your favorite replacement level podcast on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can support your favorite dinguses as they continue to bring you worthless information each and every week, providing you the escape you need. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. That's patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Speaking of weird people, fellas, let me tell you a story. You ready for story time? I hope you're ready, because this is going to be a fun story time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Get your warm mug of coffee, cuddle up by the fire. If you're listening in your car right now, don't fall asleep, okay? So here we go. Political assassinations, senatorial scheming, a presidential candidacy, and weapons charges. Imagine for a moment spending your earliest years from 3 months of age in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, a place where having a dirt floor and a tin roof over your head is considered middle class. Our story begins with a former police chief of the messy regime of Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, however you say his name. Aristide was born has borne the claim to fame of being the first democratically elected president of Haiti, but his regime was filled with plenty of questionable actions, a cabinet of sycophants and questionable political actions, as is common to third world countries and their political atmospheres. This former police chief, and who then became a senator and finally became a presidential candidate, is the father of one Danny Gilbert Kiti. For about the first 7 years of his life, Danny would grow up in the shadow of his father and the lifestyle of a third world politician. Accusations of assassination plots, political scheming, and corruption were common all the way up to the common throughout his life. And at the age of 7, Danny and his mother would move back to America after problems between her and his father. At age 10, his father would run for president of Haiti, and just a month before the election would be arrested on illegal weapons charges. Talk about a tumultuous start to his early years. Danny is nothing if not familiar with the ups and downs of politics, pressure, and all the stresses that develop a kid prepared to smile no matter what he faced. In our world, that means a lot. You guys probably know Danny Gilbert Kiti by a different name. You know him as Tuki Toussaint, the young, big smiling pitcher of the Atlanta Braves. The name Tuki is what's known as a portmanteau, a combination of sounds and syllables to make a new word like breathalyzer or bromance or frenemy. His mom is Kenyan, his father, Danny Toussaint, is obviously Haitian, and he combined their names to get Tuki. When Tuki was 10, not only did his dad run for president of Haiti, complete with all the political espionage and arguably trumped up weapons charges, but he also had a terrible year of baseball. He was back here in the States, and he struck out a lot. It made him not want to play ball, and instead he turned his focus and started playing soccer and hockey. So for 2 years, he didn't play baseball. Then, 2 years later, he returned, and he was pretty good at it. By this point, he and his mother were living back in Florida, and he transferred to Coral Springs Christian Academy, where he played ball and began to catch the eye of scouts. By the time he was a junior in high school in 2013, he went 6-2 with a 0.78 ERA and 83 strikeouts. Now, you guys know high school schedules are pretty small, so 83 strikeouts is pretty impressive. He also hit .458 with 6 home runs and 32 RBI. He would go on to commit to play college baseball for Vanderbilt. But in 2014, he was taken by the Diamondbacks in the first round of the 14 draft. Tukey's first experience pitching at pro ball was a rough one. He pitched on 3 different Diamondback affiliate teams, but ended the season with a 2-4 record and had an 8.48 ERA over 12 total appearances. If that wasn't rough enough, he was traded barely a year after being drafted with Bronson Arroyo for Phil freaking Gosselin. As if your career wasn't off to a rough enough start, you now get to say you were traded for Phil Gosselin. Joy. Meanwhile, Braves fans rejoiced at Dave Stewart being the dumbest GM in Arizona Diamondbacks history. Stewart was savage as a pitcher, but absolutely horrible as a GM. The Diamondbacks, fearing injury to Tukey's arm, had asked him to cut back on his curveball usage, by far Tukey's best pitch. And while he did improve his changeup during that time, it arguably significantly slowed Tukey's ascent. Early on, some people speculated Tukey would be a quick shot to the majors and possibly be a guy that was ready to break into the bigs by the time he was age 19 or 20. It was in 2016 that I saw him in Rome. My wife and I traveled to Atlanta to watch her uncle coach in a baseball tournament and ended up getting canceled due to weather. So me and her, we took off on an adventure and ended up driving all the way to Rome watching a Rome Braves baseball game. Oddly enough, Josh was probably there that night, but we didn't know each other at the time. Sure enough, Tukey was pitching, and Austin Riley, of all people, was playing third base. Tukey was electric. I've seen a lot of big league pitching, but his stuff that night was the best I've ever seen. The only hiccup, which still seems to bug him to this day, was getting a little flustered when he let a guy on first base. Now, we know a lot of the rest of Tukey's ascent. Pitching, well, but not amazing for Florida and Mississippi, until finally taking a big step forward in 2018. He would go on to have a 2.93 ERA with 107 strikeouts between Mississippi and Gwinnett. It's really arguable that Tukey pitched his best ball when he was first called up, but after some minor struggles and with no real slot in the rotation at the time, Tukey would get bounced to the bullpen, and then back to starter, and then back to the bullpen, and then back to starter, and then back to the bullpen, and then back to starter. Some guys handle that fine, but it seems to have left Tukey stranded between a two-pitch phenom and a three-pitch starter. His curve and fastball are solid, but the changeup doesn't get used consistently enough from the bullpen to continue the development. It really needs to perfect it, and then occasionally they got him throwing a slider, and that doesn't seem to work very well either. But enough of the pitching. You guys know that story pretty well, and tonight he got rocked once again by Baltimore. But what you might not know is that Tukey is a personality. The Braves keep their players' personalities mostly limited to what we can see on the field, but Tukey's always been known not just for his electric smile, but his ability to create positivity when there isn't much to be positive about. I guess it's a skill you learn when you come from the humble beginnings of Haiti, with plenty of swirling storms in your life and the shadow of your father's aspirations moving in and out. Or maybe it's just the smile of a guy with plenty of Kenyan fire and Latino spirit that seeks to pull the best out of life no matter what. Even after facing about a COVID-19 this year, Tukey has never used his excuse to his bumpy start, but instead he's continued to grind it out down the stretch. Look, I'm a Tukey stan, but I don't know if he ever makes it as a starter. I believe he has the stuff, but there's still plenty of questions that got to be answered. But one thing I know is that the Braves clubhouse is stronger with guys with his disposition and personality in it. Tukey hasn't had much to do with his father since moving back to the States at age 7, but he did have some struggles with his feeling his father was absent when he was younger. But now he doesn't think he's missed out on much. He's often given credit to his mom's influence on his life and how she's always been there to help him have these conversations that you would normally have with your pops. He loves baseball. It's obvious he does. And he does it to make his mom proud. He's said so multiple times. Along the way, though, this is important. Tukey's always had plateaus and then surges to greatness. Take, for example, his year with the Fire Frogs in the Mississippi, where he was just kind of average and then suddenly breaking out. I personally think he's still right on the verge of figuring it out if they would leave him alone and let him consistently pitch his particular way. And I still think he has the best raw pitching stuff I've ever seen a kid throw. If I were him, I'd call my dad and ask him if he knows anything about getting rid of pitchers that are in the way. So that's the story of Tukey Toussaint, fellas.
Wow. Wow.
A little bit of story time, but we don't always get the story of our players. We know their stats.
So he went through some stuff as a kid. His dad was from Haiti. And covered him in 2016 in Rome, but I knew he was from Florida, but I didn't know any of that stuff, man. Whoa.
Yeah. His dad was actually blamed. They never had any evidence, but it was blamed that his dad had a journalist assassinated. Now, there were some other possibilities as well, but he was one of about three possibilities that had it done. That was trying to like run against him or something. Yeah, it was kind
of
wild.
Yeah, two of my fraternity brothers, their parents still live in Haiti, and so they would tell me stuff like how crazy it is down there. Like,
yeah,
the rules we have to play by, they don't necessarily have.
Oh no, not at all.
It can be, you know, kind of dangerous. Yeah, and wow. So I figured when I first came across Tukey's name, I figured he must be Haitian with like the French last name. It's the wild, wild west out there in a lot of senses. I'll be honest with you. When you started that story, I thought you were telling the life story of Danny Keats. you know, I was like, did he discover who Keats is?
I'm still searching. Keats is somebody, but I will let you know that story as soon as I find it out. But
well, you said his name was Daniel. I was like, it's Keats.
Yeah, it's
God.
Danny Keaty. His last name is like Keaty. That would actually be hilarious. But yeah, no. I've been to... I was really involved with some missions work down in Nicaragua at one point, and they had a lot of that same kind of third world political stuff going on. And it's like, it's really creepy. Like, we got pulled over by cops that we had to pay a bribe to get away from. I mean, like, they threatened to put our bus driver in jail if we didn't pay the bribe. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the way things work. Like, at that level, you pay the bribe and you go on, you know? So, like, we took up a little collection, and I think we had to give them, like, $50, and that was, I mean, they weren't, like, it wasn't full-on, like, high-level extortion. They was, like, $50 fee, we'll let you go, you know?
Wow.
Crazy. And again.
Well, they see your face, and they know you got money in your pocket.
Yeah.
You stand out like a sore thumb down there. They know you're American. They know you've got cash.
Yep. And Tukey, he hasn't had anything to do with his father. Since, in my understanding, very little at least to do with his father since they came back to the States. But still, kind of wild. Tukey is pretty much American, too. Like, if you listen to him, he doesn't have a lot of accent. He sounds like a kid that grew up in Florida, you know. But still, interesting. Interesting stuff.
Wow.
Are you guys ready to play Stump the Chumps?
Oh, God. I thought we were done with this stupid stuff.
Well, this week, I'm going to pile on, and I'm going to throw one into your wheelhouse, Josh. All new rules this week for Stump the Chump. It's not a baseball player. Are you ready?
No.
Don't sound so excited. All right, I'm gonna throw the ball inside and see if you guys can swing it. Tonight, I am going to start and begin to read you lyrics from a song. I would like for you to name that song, the year that it came out, and the singer. And I will give you points for each one of those you get correct. However, I will take away points for every wrong guess. So if you make wrong guesses, I will deduct and you will go into negative numbers.
Oh.
If you so you might want to like kind of wait till you think you have a clue, okay?
Mm.
Do you feel prepared?
No.
Do you feel like I'm cheating you?
Yes.
Okay. Good. That's exactly how I wanted you to feel. Here we go. Well, there I was in Hollywood. Wishing I was doing good. Any clue? You can ask for questions. You can ask for tips.
Is this the beginning of the song?
Not necessarily, no.
You mean it could be, but it depends on how you want it arranged, I guess.
It's not the beginning of the song in this one.
Well, there I was in Hollywood wishing I was doing good.
Yeah. Would you like a clue? It will only cost you 1 point.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. This,
what any points for?
This singer has a very smooth voice.
Don't most singers have good voices?
Yes, but
did you say
I said very smooth.
Yeah, he said smooth.
Smooth voice. No clue? Are you ready for more?
Ready for more.
Okay, here we go. Well, there I was in Hollywood, wishing I was doing good, talking on the telephone, somebody out there has already guessed this. JT is cracking up because he's
how
the world am I supposed to know?
Hmm.
Who's the girl that sang Call Me Maybe? Is it her?
No, I don't
Carly, think Carly Rae Jepsen. It's Carly Rae Jepsen.
No, no, no. I don't think so. Joshua?
Smooth voice, huh?
Yeah. Sing the lyrics. See if you can figure it out. It might help you. I didn't make these super hard tonight, so I
promise.
Is
it a male singer?
It is.
Okay.
I probably would not. I'm trying to think if there's a female singer I would ever say had a smooth voice. I don't think there is.
I don't know.
Just sing it. Sing it out loud to us.
I would love. No, I don't want. I don't want to sing it out loud. Okay. No.
All right. Another. Would you prefer to use a point for a clue, or would you prefer me give you a few more lyrics?
Give me a few more lyrics.
Okay. Here we go. Well, there I was in Hollywood, wishing I was doing good, talking on the telephone line, but they don't need me in the movies.
Oh, man.
Y'all are going to kick yourselves.
They don't need me in the movies. Smooth voice.
JT, are you lost completely? Are you really chugging the churn? What you?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, how about I give you another clue?
Chances are I've never heard of it. Okay.
Can I give you another clue? It'll take a point, but
sure.
All right. Take another point.
Some blues singer that only you and Josh know about.
It's definitely not
at flea markets.
This gentleman wore a cowboy hat all the time. And
oh, Richard Petty.
And he was a big fan of Amanda.
Wait, what? Big fan of oh, Don Williams.
Okay, you got one part.
All right.
Who the hell is Don Williams?
What?
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 Oh my God!
What?
What?
On what radio station would I hear Don Williams?
JT,
every country gold station ever.
I mean, the zero we have in my town?
JT.
I don't live in the mountains.
Yeah.
Josh,
stop.
JT, seriously?
Are you kidding
seriously?
Me? The gentle giant? The gentle giant?
Josh.
Who the hell is Don Williams?
Okay, Josh, figure out the song since JT is proving that he is totally lost in a complete baby. He could name a Luke Bryan song, but he can't name the most popular Don Williams song of all time.
Look at him. Well, yeah, because Luke Bryan sold 10 times the records of Don Williams as.
I doubt that.
I wish. Hang on. What's the name of the song? I hope that something's good. I hope that something.
Nope, that's Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good that you're thinking of, but that is not
the
song.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. Are you ready for me to give it to you?
Oh, I know it. I know it. Stay Young.
Nope.
Damn it.
It's not Stay Young. Well, there I was in Hollywood, wishing
Tulsa
I
time.
Was doing good, talking on the telephone line.
Yeah.
But they don't need me in the movies, and nobody sings my song. I'm living on Tulsa time.
Living right. on Tulsa time. Come on, JT.
Living on Tulsa time.
You know the song.
How do you not know
JT,
Don Williams?
You've
gentle
heard
giant.
That song. You've never heard Tulsa Time?
What?
Hold on.
Yeah, man. You've heard
Let
Don
me
Williams
see here.
Before.
What
I refuse
in the
to
world?
Poke fun at you for this because I just refuse to not. I refuse to believe that you've not heard Don Williams. It's not possible. Living on Tulsa Time.
It's got like one of the most iconic bass riff intros ever. It's got that little down 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 down. And then they got that little picking guitar. Living on Tulsa Time.
Yeah.
Living on Tulsa.
JT, are you listening?
JT, are you like listening to this? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I'm asking Google who Don Williams is, and Google's like,
interesting.
Hello?
No volume from JT now. Josh, can you hear JT?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Oh, that's on my end. Hang on.
Here you go, JT.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, all right. I can hear you the whole time.
Sorry, my mic, my earbuds went out. Sorry. That song.
I left Oklahoma driving in a Pontiac, just about to lose my mind. I was going to Arizona.
You've heard that, JT. You dig it?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. My mama called me lazy. I was gonna show them all this time.
All right, that's enough, Josh. He doesn't remember it, obviously.
It's talking about 1978. It's not that I don't remember it. It's that I don't give a damn about it, and I don't know it. Again, y'all buy records at flea markets. Most people don't. I don't know who Don Williams is, and most people don't know who Don
Williams
is.
That's just not true. That's not true. Most people do know who Don Williams is.
It's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
No, it's not.
It's not, JT.
Maybe not in Livonia or in Watauga County or wherever you live.
I'm from Georgia.
106.1 WNTC probably plays Don Williams at least once a day. Like, I'm just saying, like.
I don't have that radio station.
It's the number one country station in Athens. I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, it's not like
some. I don't live in Athens.
It's not some kind of eclectic old country station is what I'm getting at. Like, oh my gosh.
No, I don't.
This is so embarrassing right now. I'm so ashamed of knowing JT doesn't know Don Williams. I'm sorry. Sorry.
This is like the time that.
Stop. Come
here, Leonard Skinner's better than Aerosmith. Crazy.
What's funny is JT will like he likes other underground stuff, you know, and
I know, and like that's
and scoffs at us for not knowing like a Drive-By Trucker or a Jason Isbell like, deep cut.
This is like knowing three of the four horsemen and not being able to name the fourth one. You know, like yeah, that's pretty, what it feels like. Is like
can name all iterations of the four horsemen. That's not a problem.
I'm not talking
if
about
got
the
a
wrestling.
Book on that.
I'm not talking about the wrestling versions.
Oh. Oh, well, never mind. Then no, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Who are the four horsemen if it's not had to do with wrestling?
Oh, man. Anyway.
I was like, yeah, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, J.J. Dillon, Ole Anderson. This is easy.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready for the next one? Let's try this again.
Oh, no.
We're going to pull
is this
up.
This one from, I don't know, within the last 40 years?
No, it's not. Okay. Just saying.
Like, Slim Whitman.
Don't play that
he didn't
card.
Know
don't
was.
Play that, JT, because you like old stuff too, okay?
You do.
You like old stuff. You're a seasoned old man,
I didn't know
just like we are.
No, y'all sit there and be like, he was one of the best players. You'll be like, this Moon Pie Watkins, one of the best pickers ever.
That's not true, though, with Don Williams. We might could do that, but like Don Williams, like.
Who's that lady? We were talking blues
Moon
one time.
Pie Watkins.
And y'all were talking about some lady. There was some lady y'all kept talking about how
Big
good this
Mama
lady
Thorne
was.
Right. Is that who you're talking about?
Sister Rosetta Thorne. Sister Rosetta Tharpe. I think
the,
that's
the
a Martin
queen of rock and
movie.
Roll.
Rosetta
Tharpe's
the,
rock and
the
roll.
First person to ever play a plugged-in electric guitar.
Yeah,
Big Mama Thornton.
There would be no Chuck Berry without
original
Sister
lyrics.
Rosetta.
Big Mama Thornton sang the original lyrics to Nothing But a Hound Dog. I mean, like, this isn't weird, you know? Like, but
in
it is
what
older.
Year is
I get that not everybody would know that. Don Williams is not in that category, though. Right. Like, Don Williams is, like, popular.
All right, Twitter listeners, somebody this week needs to create a Moon Pie Watkins Twitter account. For the love of God, please. And follow me immediately.
Oh my gosh. All right, here comes the next one, fellas.
Moon Pie
Walk. Here we go. Well, a city slicker came and he said, I'm tough. You know it right off, Josh? This one's super easy. I picked the most difficult lines, but it's still the easiest one of all the three, probably. Both.
I like the movie City Slickers.
Josh, any clue?
And two. That's good.
No, no clue yet. No.
All right, I'll keep going. Well, a city slicker came and he said, "I'm tough. I think I want to taste that powerful stuff." Would you like a clue that cost you a point?
Yes, I'll take a clue, please.
This person is known as the saddest country singer of all time.
Johnny Cash.
Okay. Arguably the saddest country singer of all time. Not Johnny Cash.
George Jones.
Okay, so you have the singer. Now can you name the song?
Well, Slithy Singer came and he said, "I'm tough."
I want to say I know who George Jones is.
I'm glad. I'm glad you know who George Jones is.
I went to go see him at the Opry.
White Lightning.
See, you go to see George Jones in Dollywood, and you don't know who Don Williams is.
Went at Dollywood. It was at the Ryman. And, okay. Back when the Opry was at the Ryman, but I didn't get to see him because he crashed his car that day.
JT's been to the Ryman, and he doesn't know who Don Williams is. I'm baffled by that. I'm not making fun of you anymore, JT. I'm just completely astounded that you don't know who he is. That's just wild.
This wasn't my choice. I was like 10 years old. I'd rather have gone see Pearl Jam concert that day.
Correct song, Josh. Can you give me the year? Wow. Okay. And actually get some positive points.
Oh.
It was George Jones, White Lightning.
All right.
1958.
Oh, that's close.
I was gonna pick around. I would say 59.
You would win with 59. That is, I will give you, because it's a corporate.
That's early George.
It is early George Jones. When George Jones looks like a vacuum cleaner.
Blue White Lightning.
Even Willie Nelson looked like a vacuum salesman.
That's kind of true. All right, last one. Are you ready? This one's super easy. This is by far the easiest one, and JT, it is within the last 40 years.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you know it. And this one, you got a chance to redeem some points here. My very first pistol was a cap and ball Colt.
My very first pistol was a cap and ball Colt?
Yep. Wow, I thought that'd give it away. Okay. Ready for the next line?
Yep.
Shoots as fast as lightning, but it loads a mite slow.
A mite slow?
Mm-hmm. Would you like a clue that cost you a point?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. This person is considered one of the greatest country music songwriters of all time.
Chris Christopherson.
No. That's a good guess, though, but it's not him. I said last 40 years. Chris is, like, further back than that.
John Anderson.
No. Stop guessing.
Willie Nelson's also.
All right, here's some more lyrics. My very first pistol was a cap and ball Colt. Shoots as fast as lightning, but it loads a mite slow. It loads a mite slow, and soon I found out.
Oh, John Prine.
No, but a strong guess.
Oh.
This person and John Prine are good buddies, I would guarantee.
No, well, not anymore. He's dead.
That's true, too. I'm a little surprised, Josh.
Is it Waylon Jennings?
No. Yeah. I will. Okay. Would you like another hint?
Yeah.
All right. This puts you at -3 points, but you could save it if you can get them all back right. All right. So Johnny Cash did sing this song, but he is not the writer. And the writer sang this song first on an album before Johnny Cash.
Oh, was it Charlie Daniels?
Nope.
Well, daggum. Dude, I don't know. I don't know this song.
All right. My very first pistol was a cap and ball Colt. Shoots as fast as lightning, but it loads a mite slow. It loads a mite slow, and soon I found out it'll get you into trouble, but it can't get you out.
Hmm.
It's not Don't Take Your Guns to Town, is it?
No, but that, I mean, it's a similar kind of song, but no, it's not.
Okay. It's not, what's his name? I don't know.
All right.
Is it Marty Stewart?
It's not. I will give you two more clues, and if you can't at least guess the writer by then, okay. Well, shame on you. First of all, his son recently died, and second clue.
Oh, okay.
He was real familiar with a particular road. Oh,
okay, I know
name.
Who it is. Steve Earle.
Towns Van Zandt.
Towns Van Zandt.
Towns Van Zandt.
No, Towns Van Zandt.
Steve Earle.
His son died. Steve. I'm sorry. Yeah, Steve Earle.
He's named after Towns Van Zandt. That's why you're.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just got those Copperhead records.
What was the song? The song. My first pistol was a cop and ball Colt. Cap and ball Colt. Yeah. That's not Copperhead Road.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
No.
It's not Guitar Town.
It's not Good Old Boy Getting Tough.
Nope.
See, you know Steve Earle, JT. See? I mean, you know old cool stuff, so you know.
Yeah. Steve Earle,
you know,
is
Towns
far
Van
more
Zandt.
Obscure. Steve Earle is far more obscure than
old
Don
Steve
Williams.
Earle, not new.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
No. Because any blonde-haired Kappa Delta that's ever been to Teen Night at her local honky-tonk has line danced to Copperhead Road.
Okay, maybe Copperhead Road.
Therefore, they are familiar.
But you just named like
familiar with Steve Earle.
But you just named like eight Steve Earle songs that aren't Copperhead Road. So
you did.
I'm just
you
saying,
did.
Like,
well, okay.
Don
but,
Williams
but new
is
Steve
far
Earle,
more popular
new,
than that. Yeah.
It, look at
new anti-Trump coal mining Steve Earle is terrible.
I do agree with that. Except he did put out an album in 2011 or 2012. I got it on vinyl. That's really good. It's got a song called Tanny Town. It's fantastic.
This Steve Earle song, since you're not going to guess it, is from 1987. So we're back in like the sweet spot of Steve Earle.
Is it the song that he
89? Guitar Town was 89. So it was the album before.
See,
that.
look at Mr. Don Williams knows the year Guitar Town comes out. JT, shut the hell up.
Okay.
Shut.
Thing,
you're the most interesting.
You guys know an excessive amount. You guys know an excessive amount of country music that the average person doesn't know. I think
but Don Williams is not that. We do, but Don Williams is not that.
Don Williams is mainstream.
Mainstream country.
Yeah.
Like 20 different 17, mainstream
I'm
number
like,
one
like
hits.
17 number one hits, Don Williams.
There you go. Yeah. Like, this isn't one hit wonder Don Williams.
Yeah.
This is like any radio station you turned on from 1975 through 85, Don Williams.
I will give it to like perhaps because you know how me and you have you knew like this old you knew some old song in the 90s that I never heard of, and so maybe wherever JT grows up, the local country station just never plays Don Williams. That stuff happens.
Yeah, it does. It does. Maybe like the local guy didn't like Don Williams and he deleted all of them.
I mean, that stuff actually happens.
It does. It does. All right. So the lyrics to this song are about the time daddy left to fight the big war. I saw my first pistol in the general store. When I was 13, I thought it was the finest thing I had ever seen.
Oh,
you
know
still don't
know
song.
It? I just don't know. I don't know the name of the song. I've heard that before, though.
The devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Mama says the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Mama says the pistol is the devil's right hand. Like, Johnny Cash sang that song. That's like a top Steve Earle song, fellas. How do you not know the devil's right hand? It's one of the best written songs
ever.
I love it.
It's been a minute. I've heard that at some point, but it's not a song I would just really know.
I'm sorry,
like
I didn't
know.
Think that one was obscure. I wasn't trying to be tricky with it. I really thought it was. Yeah. I mean, Copperhead Road, I could have like put two lyrics up and you would have guessed it. So it didn't make sense to go that obvious. So. Oh, well, it was, good song. Now, here's the follow-up question that has nothing to do with Stumping the Chumps.
You know he sued the pants off of Miranda Lambert for that song.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, ooh, her song,
sexy.
Her song, Kerosene. Not literally.
Kerosene is exactly like it sounds. What's the one? I'm All Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like it. To a T.
See, he knows that. But he doesn't know Don Williams. How does he know that? Are you trolling me?
JT, I don't know, JT, man. You have an assignment this week to listen to as much Don Williams as possible and recognize that you do know his music, and you just didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
I guarantee you do.
Right.
I guarantee you do. Like,
such a little surely. Punk.
Oh, man.
No, but if you listen to, I think it's called I'm All Right.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
It is to every note of that song. It's Kerosene, Miranda Lambert's first song. She just stole it. She even does the little ha. He has a part where he does a huh, and she does a ha.
He knows the nuances of it.
Yeah,
he knows.
It's identical.
JT's a music nerd. Come on, man.
Yeah, JT, you probably also know Don Williams. You're My Best Friend.
Yeah,
it's like every wedding ever before 1990 or 95.
It didn't get played either, man.
So let me ask you this, fellas. On that note, what makes a great song?
I don't know. You had to ask Moon Pie Watkins. solid gold on that dobro, buddy.
Oh, man. Well, that's going to do it for today's Snack Combination Podcast Show. Thanks for listening. Moon Pie Watkins is out there. He's going to play us out, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.